The Napoleonic Era. Napoleon in Exile, 1815 to 1821. Longwood, Napoleon's final home. Well, of course, they finally fixed it up. Well, it's almost finished. There's still some work to be done. There's enough done that they can put Napoleon in it. That's what's going on. Now, Longwood itself was a strange house. It was built with no definite plan and without special beauty, or for that matter, without special ugliness. In fact, it might have been expressly designed as a prison that dared not admit its purpose. The rooms set aside for Napoleon's use were all located at the front of the house, so it would be in full view of both the English and the French. Around the muddy courtyard were some sheds used as offices by the English servants who kept control over everything that came to Longwood for Napoleon. A little further back was the main building where the, quote, family, end of quote, was to live. That would include the Montholons, Las Casas, Gorgaud, later the priests from Father Vignali and Brother Buonarroti, and later Dr. Antomarchi, and the invisible but ever-present English orderly officer. Napoleon's part of the house was entered by a flight of a few steps, leading through a veranda straight into the long, light, spacious billiard room, whose wooden ceiling and walls had been rapidly nailed into place by carpenters from the HMS Northumberland. After the billiard room came the drawing room, moderate in size, with a handsome black stone chimney piece. It was in this room that Napoleon received Admiral Cockburn, standing with his hat under his arm so as to spare himself the displeasure of seeing the Admiral pull up a chair and sit down without permission. It was in this room, between two windows and under the King of Rome's portrait, that Napoleon would move from mortality to immortality on May the 5th, 1821. The third room of Napoleon's quarters was dark, and it was lit by the pallid light from a glass panel of a door that led into the garden. This room would become the dining room. It led to the emperor's two small private apartments and a tiny passage later fitted up as a bathroom. The other wing of the house, with one large room and several small ones, was to be used by the Montholons until it could be made into a library. Las Casas and his son were housed in the attic above the kitchen and was reached by a ladder. One can only imagine how hot that would get. Faced with this lack of space, Grand Marshal Bertrand decided to look for lodging a mile and a half away in a colonial house surrounded by trees. All of Napoleon's people simply could not be accommodated in a small house which, shall I say, without complications coming up. Napoleon occupied the most comfortable room, seven in all. The Montholons had three rooms. Gorgaud had one, and an office in another part of Longwood. Las Casas and his son eventually were moved from the two attics above the kitchen to a ground floor area in the south wing, which was exposed to wind and rain. The servants had to make the best of the low ceilings and the gloomy attics, where they sweltered in the summer and shivered in the winter. Marchaud slept above Napoleon in an attic at the west end of the house. Navarez slept in the attic above the library. As for the rest, the English blue jackets hastily improvised some sort of cells like ship's cabins for them, which were lit by daylight falling through tiny skylights. The servants' offices surrounded the inner courtyard. The silver room, the pantry, the linen closet, and the kitchen, which was only a few square yards, and was fitted with a miserable smoking stove. As I mentioned before, the Bertrands moved to Hutsgate, an unremarkable house, but it provided isolation and independence. Now, Napoleon was not happy with General Bertrand's decision. When Bertrand came to ask Napoleon's approval for his move, Napoleon remarked, quote, do as you please. Montholon will stay here with me, end of quote. Now the new court had to be created, which would become a social battleground for Napoleon and the French exiles against his English captors. And so that will be kind of an interesting move to see how that comes about. Because otherwise they would have just been living there as just regular people on the island, and they didn't want that to happen. So they're going to need their own little court, their own little etiquette and everything else that is supposed to be followed. But it is amazing to see how they just jammed all these people into these various places. And of course, for the most part, everybody's expecting to be there as long as Napoleon is. Now, the sources for this: Napoleon St. Helena by Martineau, Memoirs de St. Helena by Las Casas, Cachier de St. Helena by General Bertrand, the St. Helena's Who's Who by Dr. Chaplin, and the Journal of St. Helena by General Gourgaud. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.